Well, in our studies in this book of Leviticus, we've come this evening to the 8th chapter, moving on from the details of the offerings that were prescribed by God, that are described very fully in the first 7 chapters of this book. The next 3 chapters, chapters 8, 9 and 10, deal specifically with the place of the priesthood in the tabernacle. And undoubtedly we are to see the Lord Jesus Christ in these chapters. But I'm not certain we should necessarily see him in the priesthood itself. And that may sound strange to you. Of course, Jesus is the great high priest. How would we not see him in the priesthood of Aaron and his sons? Well, there's a couple of reasons why I say I'm not certain that we should see Christ in the priesthood here. And one of those reasons is because the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ was a priest, not in the order of Aaron and the Levites, but after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, Jesus' priesthood was something distinct from Aaron's priesthood and far superior to Aaron's priesthood. And that's one reason why I am not sure that we should see Christ specifically in the priesthood as it's described for us in this 8th chapter of Leviticus. Another reason why I don't think we should specifically see Christ in the priesthood described here is that we see him somewhere else in this chapter. We see him in the role of Moses and the rites of consecration rather than in the person of Aaron and his sons. Now let me reiterate, I am not saying categorically that we don't see anything of Jesus Christ and his work in the priesthood of Aaron and his sons. But I think we are to learn from Aaron and his sons something else from this chapter. Rather than seeing Christ in their role, we are to see ourselves in their role. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, says in chapter 2 and in verses 4 and 5, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we are priests to God. And as we study this 8th chapter of Leviticus, I want us to consider how the priesthood of Aaron and his sons speaks to our situation, how it speaks to us, our identity, and who we are as those who have been appointed by God and prepared by Jesus Christ for service to our Creator. And as we work through this chapter, I trust somewhat briefly this evening, to look at 7 headings that are marked out for us by this phrase that you will have heard repeated as I read the chapter, "As the Lord commanded Moses," or "as the Lord commanded him." The idea of being commanded here appears 11 times in the passage. Sometimes it's Moses saying, as he does in verse 5, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." So he's informing the congregation that are gathered there at the entrance to the tabernacle that he has been commanded by the Lord. But it's the phrases that specifically says that Moses did, or Aaron did, as the Lord commanded. Those are our markers, if you like, to highlight these 7 sections that we find in this chapter. And my heading for the first section, which is found in verses 1 through 5, is this, that they are a chosen priesthood. Aaron and his sons are a chosen priesthood. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and all the paraphernalia of the priesthood and the tabernacle. Take them, assemble the congregation at the entrance to the tent of meeting. God has decided that Aaron and his sons will be the priesthood in Israel. It is Aaron's name that is spoken by God. In other words, God has chosen Aaron, not anyone else from any of the other tribes of Israel has been called out. Not anyone else from any of the families of the tribe of Levi has been called out. It is specifically Aaron who has been called out with his sons, his male descendants, to be priests in Israel. God chose Aaron and his sons. And that is true of us. We become priests to God because God has chosen us. It's not a decision that we come to ourselves. It isn't something that we decide one day, I think it would be a good thing to be a priest to God. I think God would be happy with that. I think it would be a way of guaranteeing that I have access to God and that he is pleased with me. And you make that decision one day. No, that's not how it works. We become priests to God because God decides that we will be his priests. And he calls us. He calls us out of all the various different ethnicities, nationalities, languages upon this earth. And he says, you will be one of my priests. You will serve me. You will have access to me. And you will do all that I command you to do. We become priests in the service of God because God has chosen us, not because we have chosen him, or because anyone else has decided that someone should be a priest. So that's the first thing that I want you to note, that God chose Aaron. And God chooses us. We are a chosen priesthood. The second thing that I want you to see is in the second section from verse 6 through to verse 9. And in this section we see a clothed priesthood. Not only is it a clothed priesthood, but it is a washed priesthood. We're told Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. You'll remember that one of the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle was a great basin of water that was used for ceremonial washing of the priests as they went, moved between the altar and the tabernacle, in and out, back and forth. They passed this basin and they washed themselves there. And while it's not specifically stated that the water is taken from that basin, I assume that that would be the case, that Moses brought Aaron and his sons and he washed them with water and then he clothes them. And we have a list of the various pieces of the clothing that Aaron as the high priest was to wear. Those things that we've looked at in some detail in our studies in Exodus and their significance, their meaning, their symbolism, the ephod and the breastplate and the Urim and the Thummim and the turban upon his head and the golden plate inscribed Holy to the Lord. All of this Moses puts on Aaron. And so Aaron is washed, Aaron is clothed, and likewise his sons also. Now remember I said earlier that I don't think that we're to see Jesus Christ in the priesthood of Aaron and his sons. But we are to see Jesus Christ in the role of Moses and the rites of this consecration that is described for us here in Leviticus chapter 8. It is Moses who takes Aaron and washes him with water. It is Moses who takes him and clothes him in these garments of the priesthood. And over again we see through this chapter that the work is being done by Moses. Moses takes the offerings from Aaron and his sons and kills them and puts them on the altar. In other words, Moses is doing the work of a priest, isn't he? And he's doing the work of a mediator. In fact, Moses is standing between God and Aaron in this scene. In other words, Moses is presenting to us the work of Jesus Christ. We, as priests, chosen by God to serve him, must be made ready to serve him, and it is Jesus Christ who does this work in our lives. Jesus Christ washes us. He washes us in his blood, and he washes us in the water of his word. That's the language that the New Testament uses in places like Hebrews chapter 10 and elsewhere too. Jesus Christ washes us because we need to be purified, as we've seen in our studies in the sacrifices and the rituals of the tabernacle. Not only that, but Jesus Christ also clothes us. There's a wonderful scene in one of the minor prophets where Joshua the high priest is presented before the Lord and Satan stands to accuse him. And Joshua the high priest is clothed in rags. They're filthy. They're defiled. How can a priest stand before the living God in such garments? Well, those garments are stripped from him and he is clothed in new, clean, pure garments. Well, that's what Jesus Christ does for us. We come before God with our heads bowed, crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We're conscious that we're clothed in our own righteousness, which is like filthy rags in his sight. Our righteousness needs to be stripped away from us. It's unacceptable to God. And Jesus Christ does that. And in the place of our righteousness, which is so unacceptable to God, Jesus Christ clothes us in his righteousness as a garment of salvation, as robes of righteousness to cover our nakedness. And this is then the fulfillment of what we see here in Moses taking these garments of the priesthood and dressing Aaron and his sons in them, having washed them. Jesus washes us, he purifies us, he cleanses us, and he clothes us. He makes us ready for service in the presence of the living God. So we are a chosen priesthood, and we are a clothed priesthood. And then in verses 10 through 13, we see that the priesthood of Aaron and his sons was an anointed priesthood. Moses took the anointing oil and he anointed the tabernacle and all that was in them, and he anointed the altar and their utensils and the basin and its stand. All of these things were anointed to consecrate them, to set them apart for the service of God. But Moses also took that anointing oil and he anointed Aaron and his sons. They were set apart for the priesthood. This was a significant ceremony that we find repeatedly in the Old Testament. When someone was set apart as a priest, they were anointed with oil. When they were set apart as a king, they were anointed with oil. And often when they were set apart as a prophet, they were anointed with oil. And when we considered the anointing of the priesthood in our earlier studies, we observed that Jesus Christ is the anointed one who is prophet, priest and king. But we too are brought into the priesthood of God. And we too are anointed, but we don't have oil poured on our heads. But rather we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Or to use the language of the Old Testament, we are baptized in this one Spirit, in one baptism. We are set apart for the service of God in this way, declared to be his servants. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit. So we are an anointed priesthood. And then in the fourth place, in verses 14 through 17, there's another thing that Moses is commanded to do. He is commanded to bring a bull for a sin offering. And Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the head of this bull, and it is killed. And the blood is taken and is put on the horns of the altar, and its body is burned upon the altar, or parts of its flesh are burned on the altar, and the rest of it is burned outside the camp. Well, we've studied the sin offering in some detail, and we know that the sin offering's purpose is to atone for the sins of those who bring it, who offer it to God. And in this way, Aaron's sins are atoned for. For Aaron was a sinner like anyone else, and so were his sons. And his sins needed to be atoned for if he was to serve in the presence of God. Satisfaction had to be made for his sins so that God could look upon him and he not die in his presence. And we too must have our sins atoned for. And the fulfillment of this sacrifice is to be found in Jesus Christ. He is the one who offered himself as a final sacrifice for our sins as he died upon the cross. And there his death atones for us. For there is not one man, woman or child on the face of this earth who is without sin. There is not one person who could come into the presence of God to serve God and live in their own righteousness. Christ has died to atone for us. And so by faith, as it were, we lay our hands upon his head, and he takes our sins to the cross, and there he endures the wrath of God that we deserve. We are an atoned priesthood. We have been made righteous before God through Jesus Christ the Saviour. But there's another offering that is commanded by God that is described for us in verses 18 through 21. We're told that Moses presented the ram of the burnt offering. And again, Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and it's killed, and it is burned upon the altar as a whole burnt offering given to God. And you may remember that when we were looking at the various offerings that were brought to God, that the burnt offering was a voluntary offering that was given to God as something of value. And it denoted a person's devotion to God, their dedication to God. And this is true here in the ordination of the priesthood and their consecration to the service of God. Not that this is a voluntary aspect of their ordination. It isn't. It is being commanded for them. But it is still a burnt offering. And this burnt offering signifies the priest's dedication to the office of priesthood, their dedication to the service of God. Aaron and his sons offer this burnt offering to God. And we too, as priests, are a dedicated priesthood. That is the fulfillment of the burnt offering for us. Now, where do we find that? Do you recall what we observed with regard to this burnt offering? That it is to be found fulfilled in our lives devoted to God. As Paul declares in Romans chapter 12, that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God, for this is our acceptable or reasonable or spiritual worship or service of God. And so just as Aaron displays his dedication to God by bringing this offering as part of his ordination, we give our lives in dedication to God. We offer ourselves in the service of God as a dedicated priesthood. Then in the sixth place, we observe that Aaron and his sons are an ordained priesthood. verses 22 through 29 speaks about the offering of ordination. They were ordained to this priesthood. They brought another ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons again lay their hands on the head of the ram. They are identifying themselves with this animal that takes their place and is killed. And the blood in this instance is smeared on their right ears, their right hands, and the big toe of their right foot, both Aaron and his sons. The significance of that, I believe, is because they are to devote themselves to the service of God in the wholeness of who they are. They are ordained to serve God, to give their lives to that. And this activity is done publicly. Remember that when the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, they're not just taken into the court of the tabernacle while all the rest of the camp goes around about its usual daily routine, but all the assembly are to congregate at the entrance to the tent of meeting. In other words, all of these things that are being described here in chapter 8 are being done before a watching congregation. And this is true here of the ordination offering, for which the blood is smeared upon the ear and the thumb and the toe of the priests. Aaron is publicly ordained in this way. He is publicly set apart from all the other people in Israel to be a priest to God. And that is true of us as well. We are publicly identified as servants of the living God when we go through the rite of baptism. It is a public event that is to be seen by others, in which we demonstrate our faith in God and our devotion to God and our willingness to serve God for the rest of our lives. It is not something that is done behind closed doors. It's not something that's done in the intimacy of a little family gathering. It is something that is to be public. It is something that is to be open. It is something that is to be seen by others, so all may know this person has been chosen by God. This person has been clothed by Christ. This person has been anointed to service. This person has their sins atoned for. This person offers their life as a dedicated offering to God. This person is ordained to the service of his Creator. And then in the seventh and last place, we see that this priesthood is a directed priesthood, or a commanded priesthood, or an instructed priesthood. Verses 30 and through to the end of the chapter, Aaron takes his orders from Moses, doesn't he? Moses has been at the center of all of this scene of consecration of the priesthood, and Moses takes of the oil and of the blood and sprinkles it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and his sons' garments. And Moses says to Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh of the offering at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. And he commands Aaron not to leave the tent of meeting for 7 days. No, Aaron can't just decide what he's going to do. All this is great. A whole day of being consecrated for the service of God. Tomorrow we'll start taking offerings from the people. Aaron couldn't say that. Though that was his role. That is what he will do. But he takes his instructions from Moses. And his instruction from Moses is that both night and day he must not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting, and because that's how long his ordination will take. And so the priesthood of Aaron is a directed priesthood. We've seen it in Exodus. We've seen it already in Leviticus. Over and over again, this phrase, as the Lord commanded, or as Moses commanded. Aaron took his orders from Moses, ultimately from God. And we take our orders from Jesus Christ, don't we? We don't do whatever we like with our lives. We don't decide how we are going to serve God. We don't determine what will be acceptable to him and when. We don't decide how we are going to worship God, how we are going to come into his presence, what rituals, what rites we are going to include in our ceremonies of approaching God. These are things that are given to us by commandment. These are things that we receive by direction from our great high priest, from Jesus Christ himself. So we too are a directed priesthood, just like Aaron and his sons. A chosen priesthood, a clothed priesthood, an anointed priesthood, an atoned priesthood, a dedicated priesthood, an ordained priesthood, a directed priesthood. What an incredible privilege it is to be priests of the living God. This isn't something that we should take lightly. The ordination, the consecration of Aaron and his priests for the service of the tabernacle was surrounded with solemnity and ceremony. It wasn't something that they took lightly. And in the New Testament, when the leaders of the church were to be ordained to serve the church, it wasn't something that was to be taken lightly. It was something to be entered into with prayer and fasting. And it's true that since we are all priests to God, all those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ and who follow him, then it's a service that we shouldn't enter into lightly. We should at the beginning count up the cost of such a service. Is service to the living God worth the sacrifice that must be made? There is a cost, and we must count the cost. Now, the rewards of serving this great king and prophet and priest are well worth it for those who have eyes to see. The glories that are ours to share in the divine nature are wonderful for those who perceive it. But all must count the cost and decide. We also must continue in this office as priesthood, not taking it lightly. It is easy for us to slip into a sense of routine in our lives, whether it's in our daily reading of the scriptures and in prayer, whether it's in our weekly gathering on the Lord's Day to worship together with his people. We can slip into this routine that we're not really engaged in. This is not how we should act as priests of the living God. But we should give due diligence to fulfilling our duties to the glory of the God who made us and the God who saved us at such great cost as the life of his own Son. May God help us to be priests who are consecrated to the service of God. Our Father, we thank you for your word this evening, and we thank you that, though briefly, we have been able to learn from the consecration of Aaron and his sons to the priesthood in Israel, and to see various aspects of our own calling to be priests of the living God. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon these themes and to ensure that we are not taking our role as servants of Jesus Christ without the care that we ought to give it. We pray that you would help us to live lives that are worthy of our Saviour's sacrifice and honour you as a holy priesthood in your service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.